very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Today's Daf Brachas Chaf Ches 28a, we're going to start on the facing page at the beginning of a discussion and story, and hopefully make it on to today's Daf shortly thereafter. So we're starting from Chav Zayin Amud Beis, 27b, pagination page 54. You'll notice the wide lines, the medium wide lines, count down about 10 lines, and the beginning of that wide line says B'Shabbos Have, and we start from the two dots right after that. Our discussion for today is regarding Ma'ariv, and how Ma'ariv is different than Shacharis and Mincha. In particular, the discussion surrounds an expression, if Tfilas Ha'erev is Rishus or Chova. Is it voluntary or obligatory? Now, Taisus points out that even if you go with the opinion that rules that it's voluntary, that doesn't mean that it's voluntary the way we Americans think, either I'll do it or I won't. He says, Rishus, voluntary means that if there is a different pressing mitzvah, you have the right to do the other mitzvah first. If you'll take a look at Taisvis on our page, Taisvis is very cryptic, but he's referring to a more elaborate discussion which he has earlier. It's the second to last Taisvis, outer commentary. Halacha kedivrei ha'omer rishus, if you hold that the rule is like the opinion that says it's voluntary, lav dafka rishus, Taisvis says, it doesn't really mean voluntary, elikedifirishus la'el, rather, as I explained it earlier, on Chavav Amar Aleph, v'lokach nikra rishus, in what way is it called rishus? Levatla avor mitzvah acheres ha'overes. To sidestep Ma'ariv in favor of a different mitzvah that would pass if you didn't attend to it immediately. So Taisva says that the whole issue between rishus and chova is not as dramatic as some people would think. It's a sensitivity, which mitzvah gets priority. Certainly, as we saw on Dalet Amud Beis, the concept that a person should not come home, eat, go to sleep, whatever, while he's waiting for Ma'ariv proper time and risk missing Ma'ariv, that concern would actually be a significant concern, regardless of which position you took. It's not so simple that just because it's Rishus that these things are not problems. Ma'ariv is still a mitzvah and it's still important. Another distinction, by the way, between Rishus and Chova is that being that we rule Rishus, as we'll see in a moment, and it's only a minig to obligate people in Ma'ariv, therefore, there's no Chazaras Hashatz. If you've ever wondered why Shacharis and Mincha have Chazaras Hashatz and Ma'ariv doesn't, it's based on this Gemara. So let's begin. Tefilas Ha'erev Ein Lakeva. My Ein Lakeva, what does it mean that Tefilas Ha'erev doesn't have a set time, which was the beginning of our Mishnah in the fourth Perek of Brachas? If it's the way people generally translate that you're allowed to daven the entire night, listening to tefillas erev kol halayla, it should have said that in the more conventional way that you're allowed to say it the entire night. Elamai in la keva. What does it mean? It's not set. Commander Omer tefillas arvis rishus. Our Mishnah is referring to the opinion that it's voluntary, but as we explained what voluntary means, but it's less than an obligation than the other tefillas. And therefore, as I'm mentioning from the Mishnah Berurah, there's no Chazaras Hashatz, because we're not worried about the people who can't daven Ma'ariv. If they can't, they can't. Whereas Shacharis and Mincha, we have a public communal prayer on their behalf that they're supposed to listen to and answer Amen. Domer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because we learned Tfilas Arvis, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Chova, Rabbi Gamliel holds it's an obligation, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Rishus, Rabbi Yeshua holds it's voluntary, whatever that means. Omer Abaya, Halacha Kedivri Omer Chova, Abaya says it's the ruling is like the one who says Chova, for Rava Omer Halacha Kedivri Omer Rishus, and Rava says we follow the ruling that it's voluntary. You'll see if you're working with regular Gemara, you'll see the Chof by Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Rishus, referring you to the outer margin where the halachas are referenced, and that's how we rule. It follows voluntary, but you have to know what voluntary means. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a famous story. Maisa b'Talmud Echad, there was a story with a certain student, Shabolifnei Rabbi Yeshua, he came in front of Rabbi Yeshua, who was the leader, the co-leader of the generation after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Amalei, and he asked him, Tefilas Arvis, Rishus or Chova, is Arvis a Rishus or a Chova? Amalei Rishus, and Rabbi Yeshua ruled leniently in this topic. Bolifnei Rabbi Gamliel, he came in front of Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei Tefilas Arvis, Rishus or Chova. Same student asked the question to the other leader of the generation, Rabbi Gamliel, who was a descendant of the Davidic dynasty and had the status of a king, or in their times a Nasi, because there were no kings. Second Jewish Commonwealth had fallen, and what was left, he was the Nasi, he was the prince. Amalei Chova, and Rabbi Gamliel, who is the official leader of the generation, answers, Ma'ariv is an obligation. Amalei, he said, the student said, Valo Rabbi Yeshua Amalei Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua said, it's voluntary, and Rabbi Yeshua was certainly the reputed biggest scholar of the generation, and he was the co-leader of the generation, and the student was setting them up for a massive argument. Amalei, Sir Gamliel said, okay, we'll settle this. Hamtin Achi Konsur Bali Teresim Leves HaMedrash. Let's wait until the other scholars come to the Beis Medrash, Kishenich Nusobali Tresin, and when they came in, Omar Ashoa Vashoal, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Ochova, the student was asked to pose his question again. Omale Rabbi Gamliel Chova, Rabbi Gamliel said it's an obligation. Omale Rabbi Gamliel Lechachom, and Rabbi Gamliel called out, is there anyone who argues? And Rabbi Yeshua said, oh no, there's no one who argues. He wasn't looking for a fight. Omale, he said, but aren't they telling me in your name that it's Rishus? And they made Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua stand up and asked him, testify, tell us what your shita is, we want to settle this. And the Mefarshim say that Rabbi Gamliel was adamant about this because he wanted a strong central government. They lost the Beis HaMikdash, they were being thrown into exile, they were subservient to the Romans, and he wanted that at least Torah should maintain its supremacy, and he didn't want divergent opinions, but as we'll see, he took it too far. Rabbi Yeshua was forced third wide of the widest at the end of the line, Il mola ani chai v'hu meis, yachal achai la'akchish es hameis. He said about this student, if I'm alive and he's dead, so then I can contradict him. Akshav shani chai v'hu chai, we're both alive, I have no choice. And it became clear that he argued on Rabbi Gamliel regarding this ruling. Rabbi Gamliel made him stand there as if subservient to him as he gave the shir. And the Chachamim of the generation had an uprising in which they overthrew Rabbi Gamliel, all peaceful, but they told him he's out because he's being too disrespectful to Rabbi Yeshua. And they appointed Rabbi Loza ben Azariah as the new Nasi. If we move on to today's daf, you see on the top of the page that 6th, 7th line, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah is appointed. He tells his wife, he asks his wife, what should I do? Should I accept? And he was only 18 at the time. And his wife told him that you have no bite here, and therefore they won't respect you. You don't look like the sage of the generation. And overnight, he grew white hair. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Harei ani kiven shivim shana, I am like 70 years old, even though he's not actually 70 years old. He was 18 at the time, but he looked already like a respected leader, and he was able to accept the position. The Gemara continues and says that the new policy allowed students to come in even if they didn't pass a full application test of worthiness, and they added hundreds of benches to the Beis Medrash of different people who wanted to come in and under Rabbi Gamliel's leadership were not able to. Rabbi Gamliel realizes that he's wrong, that he was too harsh on Rabbi Yehoshua, and he goes to ask Mechila. Hopefully you'll be able to find it. It's in the middle of the wide lines, in the middle of the line. The first word on that line is Misparnasim, and then in the middle of the line, Rabbi Gamliel's words to Rabbi Yeshua, Ne'enesi loch, I spoke excessively to you. I was too harsh. Mecholi, forgive me. And finally, when he invokes the merit of his father, Rabbi Yeshua agrees. They send a message to the Beis Medrash that the argument is over, and they appoint Rabbi Gamliel as 3 out of 4 to be the Nasi, to be the one who gives the drasha, the speech, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah retained 1 Shabbos out of 4. The Gemara concludes on the third wide line, Va'osa Tamid Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Hava, that student was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the one who insisted in getting an answer both for Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and causing this enormous story. That was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, I would suggest that it is possible that this story is not totally over. There's another Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel which says that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had to hide because of the Romans. But whatever the reason, he had to hide in a cave with his son for 12 years in isolation from the rest of the Jewish people. He had to hide. And that's a little odd. It's a onrish mishuna. It's an unusual thing. So even though we say that during that isolation time he reached great heights, he authored the Zohar, etc., but it is possible that that sense of isolation from his family, from other Talmidei Chachamim, was a result in some way of the isolation that he imposed both on Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. The way the story unfolds and the way he insists on resolving this issue in such a public forum, it could be that it made an impact in his life. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and there's no contest, but to experience such a thing, perhaps in one dimension at least, was a kapara of sorts on this story that was tremendously painful to all those involved. Yeshikach, thank you for joining. Have a wonderful day.